Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Good Girls, Bad Lessons by Carmen Falcone. Narrated by Jeremy York. Chapter 1.
Would you like to see the wine list, mademoiselle?
The waiter with a thick French accent and handlebar mustache asked.
Not yet. I'm waiting for my fiancé.
Emma Kavanaugh said. God, 2 months of engagement, and she still smiled every damn time she said the word. Suppressing a giggle, she nodded to the waiter when he flashed her a smile and poured more water into her glass. Slowly. Very slowly. As a reminder, she occupied a corner booth during weekend dining prime time. Emma rubbed her palms together. Simon would be here at any moment. He'd texted her he was running late. Not that she complained about having to munch on warm bread made from scratch at the exclusive restaurant. She stretched her hand on the pristine linen, glancing down at the sparkling diamond ring. Would he finally decide on a wedding date? A couple of weeks ago, she had used her brother Zane's upcoming wedding as an excuse to cement the topic. She'd been dating Simon for almost 2 years, and the timing was right. He'd asked for her hand in marriage, and why wait around? If losing her brother Zachary a few years ago had taught her something, it was to live the life you want to live. Go after what you want, because tomorrow's not promised. Sure, maybe some people would say 25 was too young to get married, but she had big plans. Her career as a translator and interpreter was thriving. An old, dear client recently invited her to be the project manager of an animal sanctuary he intended to build overseas. Not only did she adore animals, but the job would fund her dream wedding. Her life was on track. Waiting till her 30s to do what she could now was a waste of time. Besides, she wanted to have kids while she could enjoy them, like her parents had done. When you know, you know. Simon had a volunteer trip to Venezuela in a couple of days. It made sense for him to set the date before he traveled. They'd iron out the details later. Yes, Simon was the sound choice for her. An up-and-coming dentist and a great partner, reliable, smart, and they shared plenty of hobbies. Her parents had taken many activities together, or so she heard. Her father died when she was a child, but they'd had a great marriage by all accounts.
Am I late?
The rustle of a chair made her straighten her shoulders and glance at her hubby-to-be. She winked at him.
You're right on time.
Simon shrugged. God, he seemed nervous. The strand of blonde hair that usually fell neatly on his forehead was pushed back, which meant he'd been running his fingers through his smooth hair. A couple of buttons on his striped shirt hung open, and she didn't need a magnifying glass to see the rapid pulse in his neck. Maybe he'd realized he'd be away from her for a few weeks and wanted to set a date before his departure. A shiver of anticipation rolled down her back, and she wiggled in her seat. Should she go ahead and make things easier for him?
Simon, whatever you want to tell me, you can go ahead and say it.
He reached for her glass of water and took a swig of it.
Emma, we've been together for 2 years, and engaged for 2 months. Yes.
She stretched her hand and caressed his. Oh, the poor fool. A nervous laugh flew from his lips, and he withdrew his hand from under hers.
Right. Lately, I've been thinking. I know you've reached the time in our relationship where... Would you like to see the wine menu?
The waiter asked, bringing a small leather-bound menu.
Seriously?
She crossed her legs and drew in a breath to calm her nerves. No, not happening.
Thanks.
Simon nodded at the waiter and grabbed the menu, but kept it closed tight.
Go ahead.
She brought her hands to her lap and played with the hem of the linen napkin. He shifted in his seat, his baby blues studying her face.
Well, you're amazing, and you deserve to fulfill your dreams and hopes. I proposed because I really believed that, and I know you've brought up the dates, and I sort of dismissed the subject.
Yes. She clenched the napkin hard. Oh, God. Yes, yes, it's coming.
A wave of warmth bubbled up in her throat, and she clamped her lips to keep from shouting too soon.
Now I know why. I can't marry you.
He gave her a lingering glance, along with an apologetic smile.
I'm so sorry, Em.
What? She drew back as if she'd been struck, her head bobbing and fingers loosening the grip on the napkin. It was like someone had dumped a bucket of glacial water on her head. Her body froze, her heart skipping a beat. Warmth gone.
You're breaking up with me?
He ran his hand down his face and let out an exasperated sigh.
Yes, I'm sorry.
She managed to blink several times before asking,
Why did you invite me for dinner then?
He shuffled in his seat, his fingers fidgety over the damn wine menu.
We started our relationship going to nice places. I thought this would be a nice way to end it.
She rubbed her throbbing temples, trying to understand what the hell was happening. This was certainly not part of the plan. A lump of frustration lodged in her throat, and when she tried to swallow, her tongue got stuck to the roof of her mouth.
No more engagement.
You're smart, funny, caring. You have all those qualities any guy wants in a woman, he said, his voice as soft as a cotton ball.
Then why?
The whole it's not you, it's me routine wasn't going to cut it. She was smart enough not to fall for that one. Simon scratched his head, visibly uncomfortable, and glanced around them in silence. Sure, there were other tables occupied, with couples whispering lovingly, too involved with each other to care.
We have no sexual chemistry.
This was all about sex?
I can work on that, she said, injecting some enthusiasm in her voice.
Really, was that the issue?
I can download a Kama Sutra app or something.
Hadn't one of her friends raved over one of those before?
Emma wasn't vying for an Olympic medal in the aerobic sex department, but if that's what it took to keep the man of her dreams, well, she'd roll up her sleeves.
A long sigh flew from his lips.
No. Listen, Emma, I want to be with someone who enjoys sex as much as I do, who values it like I do. You can't fake that.
She folded her arms.
Did you meet someone else? No, I'd never cheat on you.
He looked straight into her eyes, and somehow she believed him.
I need to be with someone who's more adventurous. I'm not here to change you, but I've seen a couple friends get married, and with Zane's wedding in a month, it got me thinking about what I want in a spouse. I'm sorry I didn't discuss this with you sooner, before we got this far. I thought I'd be okay with it. Turns out I'm not.
Hot tears brimmed in her eyes. Holy shit, how humiliating. Her pulse raced, and she wanted to make a big scene and yell at him. Pull the linens and drop the fancy china and cutlery, and he'd be the one stuck with the bill, and maybe a knife would land on his thigh. Except the bastard had a point. Sex really didn't mean a lot to her. Sure, she enjoyed it enough, but she didn't need it for survival.
You want a sex goddess, she said softly.
Simon scratched his chin, and she hated how he gazed at her as if he too was in pain.
If things are stale between us now, can you imagine after, say, 12 years of marriage?
He said, his voice trailing off. She lifted the napkin from her lap and dried the corner of her eyes.
Sex isn't everything. It is when it's not working. I'm sorry, Em. I love you, but...
He sighed.
Listen, I'm going to Venezuela for the next 3 weeks. I'll be back before your brother's wedding. If you don't want me to attend...
With a shrug, she produced a smile.
That's silly. You and Zane are friends, too. He'd want you to be there.
And so will I.
She had 4 weeks to come up with Plan B, or make it Plan D.
Can I ask you a favor? Don't tell anyone about our breakup yet. My mom and sister are so excited about Zane's wedding. I'll let everyone know after the wedding.
He flashed her an apologetic smile.
You got it. Thanks.
She drew in a breath. If he thought she was done with him, he was dead wrong. Perhaps time apart was all he needed to focus on what really mattered in life. Meanwhile, she'd learn how to become a sexpert and win Simon back. Oh, hell to the yes. Nico Giordano glanced at the invitation he'd been given less than an hour ago for the fundraising party. The golden cursive lettering sparkled when he shifted the expensive paper. He'd been trying to buy back his family vacation home for years, and finally, he'd have the opportunity to meet the reclusive owner face to face. Excited, he called his brother, Marco. After two rings, Marco came to the phone. Nico heard the giggle of a female voice in the background and hoped he didn't interrupt anything between Marco and his wife, Lily. If he waited for a good time to call them, he'd never do it. Those two screwed every waking moment.
Yeah?
Nico snorted. He hadn't gotten laid in 4 months, a record for him. Sex helped him relax and focus on what mattered, like the opportunity to sway Demoray to finally sell him the only place he'd experienced happiness as a child and fulfill a promise he'd made to himself and his late mother. Their former vacation home in Mauritius, the same house Demoray inhabited.
I pulled a few strings and got an invite for a fundraising party in Mauritius next month.
You did? Is this about the Demoray home?
It's our home, he said.
Memories of the wonderful summers they'd spent in the large white house in Mauritius filled his heart. His mother had been healthy, for the most part, and he firmly believed the warm weather and simple living helped her cope with her mental illness when she'd been away from all the demands of an upper-class family in a traditional Italian setting. After she'd committed suicide and their father descended into alcoholism, it was like Papa had chosen to erase all the evidence of happiness, and selling the beloved home had been on the list.
Nico, give up. You've tried to get this guy's attention before, he said,
mentioning the successful complex they created in New York City, where one of the investors was good friends with the French billionaire. Nico suspected that he'd put in a good word for him, and maybe he had, but still nothing moved the needle in his favor. Besides an email from his lawyer saying he wasn't interested in selling his property, no matter the price, Demoray had ignored his phone calls.
Never, he hissed.
Marriage and kids weren't in his cards. Hell, kids were physically impossible. He'd made sure of that. The house was the one goal he had, where he saw himself spending his downtime. His phone pinged, and he noticed another call waiting. It was from his best friend, Zane, who spent his last few weeks in Senegal doing charity work with his fiancée, Monique, before returning to California for their wedding.
Hey, I gotta go. Zane's on the other line. Talk to you soon.
He heard another squeal from the other end of the line and knew his brother wouldn't be heartbroken to go back to whatever he was doing with Lily. Perverts. Truth was, he loved Marco. But though he excelled at pretending, whenever he was with his brother, his heart squeezed. All those times he hadn't protected him from their father came to mind. Guilt over the truth he'd always kept hidden from Marco.
Hey, man, Zane said in a rush, pulling him from his thoughts. I just got a text from the security company saying someone broke into my house. They're sending a car over, but Emma has been staying there. I can't get a hold of her. Can you please check it out and call me as soon as possible?
Have you told anyone else?
No, Megan has a small kid and my mom will go crazy. Can you check it out for me and let me know?
Of course.
Thanks, Nico. I owe you one.
Nico hung up his phone and rushed to the door. His property was located only a few minutes from Zane's in Hollywood Hills. He slid into his black Ferrari and zipped through the empty streets. Emma Kavanaugh. He hoped she wasn't in any trouble. Zane's little sister was a curvy brunette with an ass that made him drool and bright hazel eyes that carried a promise. Well, in his mind, anyway. Which was where his fantasies would remain. He'd never get involved with his best friend's sister, because Emma had the whole white picket fence dream written on her forehead in bold letters. She was taken, anyway, engaged to some pansy-ass guy he'd met a couple of times, Samuel or Sid or whatever the hell his name was. Nico doubted that a boring dentist who parted his hair to the side and slicked it with gel knew how to properly handle a luscious woman like Emma. Sighing, he accelerated. She could be in trouble, and here he was, salivating over her sexy body and pretty face. His father had a point. Nico didn't care about anyone but himself, and that suited him. That truth ruled his life, and it expanded his horizons and limited them in equal measures. He parked in front of the impressive house and ran to the door. All the lights were off. No trace of a police car. Maybe knocking on the door wasn't the brightest idea. What if the intruder hurt her or took her away? Nico's heart thrummed. He walked around the property first to study the area before making up his mind. He didn't see anyone through those glass walls. A glass of wine sat half empty on the coffee table in the living room, and a reality show was on the sleek TV screen. But no sign of Emma. He climbed up a tree and got to the second floor of the house. He opened the window from the outside and slid inside. He'd excelled in every martial arts class he'd taken, and he doubted the intruder wouldn't be intimidated by his muscular 6'3" frame. He curled his fingers into a ball, ready to knock out the bastard when he saw him. He padded on his feet through the hallways until he found a room with light trespassing down the closed door. Without delay, he kicked the door open. Emma was sitting on the bed, eyes widening as she gasped and tied the knot of her silk robe.
"What? Nico?" she shouted. "Do you want to give me a heart attack?"
Did she want to give him one? The smooth fabric outlined her womanly curves. Desire hit him like a blow. "You okay?" he asked, glancing around the guest room she occupied.
"I was until you barged in here and I almost died."
"Your brother told me to check on you. He said one of the alarms went off."
"Yes, I know. I drank too much and didn't remember the code when I walked in here. So the damn thing activated, but I called the security company and everything is squared away now."
"So, no intruders?"
She pointed at him.
"Well, I have a big intruder right in front of me."
"Funny.
Let's go downstairs and have a drink."
"Seems like you've been having too much of it. What's wrong?"
She walked out of her room, and he followed her, trying hard not to ogle her perfectly round, lavish butt cheeks that swayed as she walked. Not only did she have an ass he only dreamed of seeing, she had curvy hips. Her body was the epitome of an hourglass figure, and it raised his internal temperature to an unbearable level.
"You're drooling only because you haven't nailed her. If you nail her, the magic's gone."
He sent Zane a quick text message to say there'd been no break-in and she was safe. After his friend replied and thanked him, he slid his phone back in his pocket. When they entered the living area, she turned on two lamps and turned down the TV's volume. She reached for the bottle of red wine and gestured it to him.
"Want?"
He grabbed it from her hand.
"Doesn't it seem like you've had enough?"
She shook her head and took it back from him.
"Please, I was dumped today. I'm entitled."
He cleared his throat.
"Your fiancé broke up with you?"
"Yeah, said I suck in the bedroom," she said,
then chugged down the glass.
"That's a complaint I bet you never had."
"Can't say that I have."
He went to the kitchen, opened a few cupboards until he found wine glasses, and took one. When he returned, he poured himself some. What the hell could he say to make her feel better? He didn't get this whole male-female friendship thing.
which was why he never wasted time befriending the opposite sex. Still, a flicker of sadness gleamed in her pretty eyes, and he wanted it gone.
Listen, it has nothing to do with you. He's the loser.
She rolled her eyes at him, unfazed.
Whatever. It has everything to do with me. Simon's perfect for me, and I'm perfect for him if he's willing to look past his stupid fantasies.
He glanced down at the red contents in his glass.
He doesn't know how to stoke that fire in you.
It's not him. Like, I've never had an orgasm before. I'm good at faking it. So it can't be him.
Poor girl. Never?
Never. But it's not like I slept with the entire city.
Like I have. You don't need the entire city. You just need one person to make you come.
I guess. Sex isn't really that important for me.
How can it not be? Relationships start with sex and end with sex, he said matter-of-factly.
Hell, it probably had been that way between his folks, too. If they'd stuck with sex and not foolish emotions, they wouldn't have had a fucked-up marriage and produced fucked-up children. Not that he'd ever have to worry about making the same mistake. He'd gotten a vasectomy for that exact reason.
Thanks.
I don't mean to hurt you, but... She waved him off, impatient.
Listen, I know you're the sex king. I get it. But all I want is someone to share my life with, have kids. Someone who will be there through thick and thin, like my parents' marriage.
I'm sorry Simon wasn't that guy, he said, even though he didn't feel sorry at all.
That's where you're wrong. He is that guy. I wish I wasn't such a bad lay.
He gritted his teeth. Her low self-esteem about her performance bugged him, and he didn't even know why.
Dio, you can't be.
She shook her head.
Let's face it, I never even came. Well, it's not as easy for girls.
Not if your man knows what he's doing. It wasn't your fault.
She sighed.
How can you be sure? You weren't there.
Enough talking.
A mix of frustration and challenge worked its way into his bloodstream, pumping his veins so hard they were about to pop. He shouldn't be doing this, but hell, it was too fucking late.
But I'm here now, and I'm about to show you that you can come. Take off your robe, get on this sofa, and I'll teach you a thing or two about orgasms.
Chapter 2. Emma looked at the enormous man in front of her. All those years, she always recognized Nico's striking sexual appeal. After all, she had good vision. His 6'3" imposing frame dwarfed her 5'5" physique. But it wasn't just about height difference. A long-sleeved black shirt clung to his muscles. He'd rolled up the sleeves, exposing his strong forearms, and... Her gaze fell to his hands. They were big, with long, tanned fingers, and though he didn't do manual labor, they didn't look soft like the hands of men who moisturize too much.
"On this sofa," he said. If you are up for the challenge.
Maybe it was the alcohol talking, but she followed his demand. Hot as shit he could be, but she'd made peace with the fact she wasn't orgasm-prone. Maybe letting him try and fail would keep him honest and wipe the smug look from his ridiculously handsome face. He'd talked like there was something wrong with Simon. Please. Simon was perfect for her, and she'd show it to him. It was hard for a player like Nico to understand her wanting to be with someone forever, which had been why she'd never given him much attention. She and Nico would never have worked, what with his revolving door sex life. She longed for forever, and Nico was an in-the-meantime kind of guy. She sprawled on the L-shaped sofa, the butter-soft leather caressing the back of her knees. She could blame it on the alcohol or her bruised ego later. Now she'd indulge in watching Nico try to make her come, and laugh at him later. He kneeled in front of her, and a wave of masculinity crashed over her. Her nipples pebbled against her lacy bra, the cute, overpriced lingerie she'd bought when she thought she'd be celebrating her coveted engagement. A zing of desire moved through her, the excitement to prove Nico wrong. He undid the knot in her robe until the smooth string slid lazily to the side. Moisture evaporated from her throat, and she had to swallow twice.
"What do we have here, Piccola?"
Shit. He pulled her robe to the side, exposing her white lingerie. It had been a nod to a possible wedding night, a joke she'd make. Now she second-guessed her decision, as he placed a hand between the valley of her breasts, and the deep tan of his hand contrasted with her pale skin. God, his hand was heavy on her. He kept it still for a moment, and a need formed in her core for much more. She chewed on her lower lip, unable to yank her gaze from him. He regarded her body, a beam of approval curling his lips. She sucked in a breath to make sure the stubborn roundness of her belly would flatten. What do I care what he thinks? If Nico wanted a runway model, she bet he had their numbers on speed dial on his iPhone. This was just a silly challenge. At last, he cupped one of her breasts, teasing it through the fabric of her bra. She drew in a breath again, but for an entirely different reason. She tensed up, sending her body a silent plea to behave. She fought the urge to dive her hands into his hair and stroke his scalp. She curled her fingers into fists at her sides. He angled closer, and specks of gold flickered around his striking forest green irises. He had amazing eyes. Had they always been so fiery? He parted his lips and covered her body with his. Whoa. She gasped, feeling the weight of that huge man on her, but within a second he eased off her, propping himself on his elbows. Still, the heat emanating from him quickly made its way into her, upping her body temperature. He lowered his head, and she caught a whiff of his scent, a wonderful fragrance with notes of bamboo and sandalwood and Nico. Strong, seductive, remarkable, just like the man himself. She tilted her head up, longing for the kiss, but he withdrew with a devilish grin on his face. He lowered himself onto her, and she arched into him. A heat she wasn't used to expanded in her chest, searing her insides. "I should drink more often before sex." He closed his mouth on her covered breast, the warmth of his lips enveloping her tit. She moaned, twisting her legs, unable to keep still under his mouth. A raw need entered her, lighting her up like a matchstick. He teased her, running his tongue over the lace. Her nipples strained so much into the fabric, they ached. Her medium-sized breasts felt big and heavy. Whenever he lapped his tongue over her bra, a tingle shot through her, and she clamped her lips to keep from shouting his name. Okay, so he was good at provoking. Didn't mean he'd make her come, right? He took his mouth to her other breast, and soon the same pattern began, with him sucking without removing her bra.
Nico!
She trailed off, unsure of what to say. His name flew from her lips like both an illness and a cure. She couldn't control the sensations flowing through her, but damn it, didn't matter, none of it mattered, but the crazy pull she felt toward him. He lowered one hand down her body, grabbing the hem of her robe and pulling it up. The excessive amount of fabric bunched at her waist, and he headed south. Soon, he removed her G-string, sliding it down her legs, and she didn't miss the fire in his eyes when he glanced at her, semi-naked on the sofa. With her pussy soaking wet for him.
God.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?